Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. And we're also brought to you by the SGPN World Cup Free Roll. SGPN is giving away $250 cash and a $250 gift card to the winner. Enter today exclusively on the SGPN app. And welcome into the Fantasy Football Podcast presented by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am your host, Justin Bruni. Joining me today is one of my favorite people in the fantasy football space, Mr. Jeremy Popes. Jeremy Popilars, how are we doing, sir?
I'm getting ready for, obviously you're not listening to this today, but Thursday Night Football. So, you know, getting ready for that. I'm pretty excited. I'm getting ready to hunker down, you know, it's getting 6 feet of snow tonight, so.
Yeah, you don't get to take a trip to Detroit this weekend, unfortunately, to see the game. But your Bills do. They're going to travel well in the storm.
That should be it should be interesting to see how many fans go. You know, I know they did that once in the past, and we actually had a decent amount of fans. I think.
I was going to say, I feel like Bills country is already migrating to Detroit. You know, as the winter winds blow, there out goes the Bills fans heading to Detroit.
It's not too far, especially if they go through Canada and. The storm's supposed to stop, I think, Saturday. So if it does,
sure that's what I'm saying, man. All these weather people, all these experts, they're always building it up. And then you get there and it's just like, all right, it wasn't really that bad. And I understand, like, I get this situation. Like, I get the move. It makes sense if that is the realistic expectation, if you're going to have 6 feet of snow. But come on, like, game time. I guarantee it would be cleared up. The field would be cleared. I think it's more of just a concern of, you know, fans. Like, are you really going to have fans in that building and during the game that entire time? And I feel like, you know, that lackluster is kind of a turnoff, you know, for the NFL. Like, they're not trying to, you know, have a COVID style game, you know, in a snowstorm.
Yeah, I think you'd still get a lot of fans. I don't think it's that way. I think what it comes down to is the uncertainty, because it did start out that it was supposed to go till Sunday. I know they're talking about it possibly ending Saturday at some point, or like the heaviest portion being tonight into Saturday. So, but they got to make the call now. You know, they can't make it on Saturday and be like, oh yeah, actually everybody, we're going here. So it is what it is. I mean, honestly, it's probably better for us as fantasy managers
definitely
going to have a game that's in a dome now versus a game that might have had, you know, 3 inches per hour of a snowfall, which is a lot of snow if you don't know what that is. So
yeah, exactly.
That's a lot of snow coming down.
I had Josh Allen at quarterback 9, so I'm definitely moving him up now for sure. You know, he's playing in a dome. So I was not excited to start him. I probably would have searched for better options. I mean, we can talk about him a little bit too. The elbow, I mean, he looked fine in the last game, but, you know, if he was coming in still questionable in the snow, like, I was turned off by that. I was actually going to fire up Marcus Mariota over him, which I did last week, and that worked out. So, but let's get in right into the starter sits here. Let's start getting into some fantasy talk. If you haven't already, be sure to follow us on Twitter at SGPN Fantasy, like this video, and follow us on YouTube at SGPN Fantasy Football. Speaking of Marcus Mariota, he is at the front of our conversation for the starter sits. We've got Jimmy Garoppolo at Arizona or Marcus Mariota at home versus Chicago. Which way are you going here, bud?
So I am actually going to roll with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think both are both are good options this week. I do like Mariota. I just don't know. The floor is a little bit safer with Mariota, I think, on the rushing aspect of it. But Jimmy Garoppolo against Arizona is a pretty good matchup for me. I just also think that Jimmy Garoppolo has been a little bit underrated this season. He's not going to win you your league, but I think he's a quality, you know, like 12 this week. That's where I have him. So like right on that cusp of 1 and 2, where I have Mariota at 14. So it's like, they're not really, you're really splitting hairs here. But Arizona's matchup against, well, like the Arizona matchup for San Francisco is a little bit better. They've allowed six quarterback ones this season so far. So for me, it's a little bit nicer, whereas Chicago has been a little bit tougher, not crazy, but a little bit tougher for quarterbacks this season.
I agree with you about Mariota having a safe floor against the Bears because of that rushing upside. The Bears have been bleeding yards on the ground, but they've only allowed the 13th fewest fantasy points to the quarterback position, whereas Arizona has allowed the 8th most. Jimmy Garoppolo has been kind of a guy that I've been targeting at trade deadlines. I did move off of Jared Goff in a second round pick for him because I love the schedule going down the stretch. Like if you're in a dynasty league and you're in a win now type of mode, I feel like he's a guy that you don't have to, you know, overpay for, you know, that's going to have a good stretch of games to close out. He has, was it 1, 2, 3, 4? Four games this season with at least two passing touchdowns. He is coming off just a one touchdown performance, but I like this matchup up against Arizona. It's going to be on Monday night, and you may also be missing Kyler Murray from that game. And I think Colt McCoy is even questionable as well. So if the quarterback situation on the other side isn't very good, I feel like we could see a lot of that 49ers offense on the field and, you know, quite a few scoring opportunities for Jimmy here. So I am going that direction as well. I have Jimmy at quarterback 10, and I have Mariota at 13. So we're both pretty close there. I believe you've got it right on the public with Fantasy Pros. Jimmy at 12 and Mariota at 14. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how the pros at Fantasy Pros have it. So right around with the public there. Not bad. Next up, we have Miles Sanders at Indianapolis and David Montgomery at Atlanta. So another Chicago-Atlanta matchup here. What do you think about this running back option?
I mean, it has to be Montgomery, in my opinion, going forward. I've always had a soft spot for David Montgomery. I know a lot of people don't like him because he's not flashy enough for them. But he's been productive. Mm-hmm. He's always had the volume. He's always been a solid running back option for fantasy just based on that volume. I know his efficiency numbers are pretty putrid. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, in the last, I think I saw a tweet today that in the last 3 years, over weeks 12 through 17, I believe it is. So don't quote me exactly on the weeks. But this back half stretch of the season, he's averaged almost over 20 points per game in PPR scoring. So for me, he just ended up losing. Well, I mean, the Bears ended up losing Khalil Herbert to IR, which pretty much seals the fate that I think. I mean, Ebner's going to see some touches, so I'm not going to say it's a full-on workhorse role, but I believe it's going to be a majority. I mean, I think you're going to see upwards of 70% of the touches go to David Montgomery. So barring an injury, I really like that. And Atlanta is one of the easiest teams to running backs. They've given up six running back ones this season. And they've allowed – hold on. Sorry, computer's slow for me. But they've allowed they have allowed 23.5 points in PPR scoring to running backs this season on average. So for me, I think he's a locked in, loaded top 15 option this week with David Montgomery. Miles Sanders, we've kind of seen it. It's up and down. Really depends on how the Eagles offense goes. Right. And even at that, he kind of lacks those touchdown upside. Hurts tends to really steal those from the end zone there. Either that or it's Boston Scott for some reason. I mean, Scott's a good running back. I'm not saying for no reason and it's mind right, but they just don't really like giving Miles Sanders those touches inside the red zone, at least inside the five.
Well, he's had quite a few touchdowns this season. Is it three?
That's more than ever. But
4, 5, 6. Yeah, absolutely. He's not coming off the strongest game. He had 12 carries for 54 yards against Washington. And, yeah, the Eagles have been just spreading the ball around, whether it's Hurts, whether it's even Gainwell, who, you know, is a very good route runner, or Boston Scott that can, you know, do a little bit of everything. He can catch passes. He can run downhill. I think that both of these guys are good options this week, but between the two, I'm with you. I'm going to lean Montgomery. He's my running back 16 to Sanders 19 ranking this week. Both have good matchups. Indianapolis, low key, 11th most fantasy points allowed to the running back position. Atlanta very close as well, 13th most. So both have a good matchup. Both aren't necessarily PPR dependent, but you brought it up, the volume. It's just key here, right? You saw Khalil Herbert averaging about 13 to 14 touches a game. I have to imagine at least 7 to 10 of those are going to go to David Montgomery, and then you may have some more sprinkled in of Ebner and probably Justin Fields as well. Quarterback one over the past month, he's been running the ball a lot. He's really the only concern for me with David Montgomery in this one is we get down to the red zone. You had brought up the efficiency. It hasn't been there, but that volume I feel like should push him over the edge. I actually like both of them to score a touchdown this week because I think that the Colts, like I said, it's a good matchup up on the ground. And I think a lot of people are expecting like, oh, well, it's a good matchup. They'll get Gainwell going. They'll get Scott going. I think that Sanders could find the end zone this week. I just also believe Montgomery will as well. And that extra bit of volume will just barely put him over the edge. Fantasy Pros has these guys super tight, 15-16 in favor of Sanders. It sounds like you and me are also have them pretty close, but more so in favor of Montgomery.
Yeah, at the moment I have them 14-15, so I'm like a little higher than Fantasy Pros, but it might change a little bit. You know, like they have some guys ahead of them. I mean, Stevenson's a little interesting against the Jets, a good run defense. Damian Pierce ahead of him. So, I mean, I might bump Montgomery up. I feel like Sanders, I'm going to stick at 15. I think he might fall a little bit. Some guys behind him, depending on, you know, like Pollard might jump him if Zeke misses again. You know, like there's some guys that, I do like the matchup for Sanders, but I just feel like it's a little bit more, I feel like it's riskier just because there are, like you mentioned, Scott, Hurts, all those guys. And honestly, Fields has been stealing a lot of work from the running backs as well, even there in Chicago. So we do have to worry about that. But I do, like you said, I think both could find the end zone. There's a good probability this week. So I like them both as good starts, both top 24 guys. So
yeah, I think there's a lot of situations out there where people, you know, have both of these guys rostered. I have them on a couple of teams, but they're both starting. I don't have to choose between the two. They're just, they're both getting fired up. So kind of a similar situation with the wide receiver position. Another very close one, Terry McLaurin or Chris Olave this week.
I mean, Terry McLaurin's made it hard for us, I guess, the last couple of weeks, really, if you think about it. Just because before, when it was Carson Wentz, it kind of seemed like Terry McLaurin had fallen out of favor. But Taylor Heineke came in, and he's been lighting it up with Terry McLaurin. Chris Olave is a guy that kind of came onto the scene real early and just took full advantage of a full-on opportunity that he had with Michael Thomas kind of now, again, out for the season. Landry was missing a ton of time. He came by, not even by choice or by naturally of productivity, but he just kind of necessity became their wide receiver one. But it was fine because he took advantage of it, and he's looked very good. And I honestly, again, it seems like you're picking the ones that I have back-to-back. But again, I have Olave at 10, and I have McLaurin at 11. I do like Terry McLaurin, but Houston's been a little bit more stingy to wide receivers, I think, than like a casual person might think. They've actually only allowed one wide receiver one all season.
Third fewest fantasy points to wide receivers.
So it's been one that did update. I'm just trying to remember if I updated this chart, but because it might not have had last week's, but it does. So it was one for one wide receiver one, and they've allowed five wide receiver two. So it's more likely he finishes as a wide receiver two this week, at least in Terry McLaurin. But they've been a sneaky good pass defense on the edge. So I think you could see a lot of the Gibson and Robinson route here for the Washington Commanders. So I'm a little bit less on McLaurin, and I feel like I might end up dropping him a little bit here as the weekend goes on, just as we figure out some injuries, stuff like that. For example, I'd Gabe Davis below him. I might bump him up depending on like the Browns situation now that they're playing in Detroit. But Olave, I'm going to keep there. The Rams, again, it's another one that you sit there and you think, oh, they're facing the Rams. But the Rams have allowed five wide receiver ones this season. So they actually have allowed – that's the fourth most. They're tied with some other teams in there. But they've allowed a lot of passing yards and production through the wide receiver position. So they're not as vaunted against them as they once were. And I think that's what a lot of people get scared away from that, because they sit there and they say, oh, hey, they're facing the Rams. I'm out on it. The only worry I guess I would have would be the Saints O-line against the D-line in the pass game there, where like they could affect Andy Dalton a little bit. But I think Olave's in store for a pretty big game. So I'm actually going to go Olave over McLaurin.
Yeah, I'm going that way as well. Yeah, I'm going that way as well. I have them super close, 8 and 10 for wide receiver rankings in favor of Olave. So love them both this week. I feel like it's going to be very difficult to sit Terry McLaurin really in any situation other than, you know, having, you know, another top 10 or two other top 10 receiver options this week. Olave, second in the league in total air yards for wide receivers. That's unbelievable as a rookie. Love that upside. You brought up the matchup with the Rams. On my end, I mean, fourth, seventh, whatever. I have him as seventh most fantasy points allowed to the position. Houston with the third fewest. And I agree with you. I think it's going to be a bigger focus on putting the ball on the ground for the Commandos. Last week, I believe Robinson had 26 carries and Gibson had 14, I want to say. Don't quote me on that. I can get that pulled up here in a second. But they ran the ball a lot, and it really worked for them, and they beat a very, very good team in the Eagles. So I feel like there's going to be more bread and butter on the ground running the ball for the Commandos in this one. And McLaurin, you know, I don't think it's unlikely that he can walk out of this game with five or six catches for 70 to 80 receiving yards. But if you're looking for that big booming type of production here and you're in a situation like this, I'm definitely leaning in favor of Olave.
And even at that, you know, you mentioned it. I mean, a good team, a very good defense. And Terry McLaurin had a really good game last week. So you can't really rule him out. I mean, the only thing that hurts Terry McLaurin appears to be Carson Wentz, because he's the only quarterback that he was unproductive really with. But true, with Taylor Heinicke playing, like, McLaurin is – he's a must start. It's not anything there. And I do feel like some of people may be in this situation. But – I'm starting McLaurin over a lot of other guys. You know, I'm starting him over Pittman. I'm starting him over Sutton. Like, other guys that you might have thought were staples on your team, like Amari Cooper. Like, there's guys that I would definitely start both of these guys over. So, like, depending on it, where you're sitting in this start-sit decisions, like, don't think that some of these other guys are even locks. You know, like, Terry McLaurin or Olave feel like locks to start this week. I just think that they both have that ability to have a big game, so...
Yeah, I love it. It's very, very close between the two. They're both, you know, top 10 guys this week, but very likely that you could have both of these guys rostered just because of their ADPs. And, you know, a lot of people are just able to pick up Olave off the waiver wire and a lot of redraft leagues. So definitely something to look out for if you do have both of those guys rostered. Me and Jeremy are both in favor of Chris Olave. Next up, we're moving to the tight end position. We have Pat Freiermuth. I have it listed as Freiermuth in the sheet. We're going to go ahead and edit that really quick. Freiermuth versus Cincinnati Bengals at home. And then we've got Greg Dulcich at home against the Raiders. Dulcich, you know, went into the dip last week. He had three really good starts as a rookie for the Broncos, but came back down to earth, has a good matchup this week. Pat Freiermuth has seen the Bengals this season. I believe he had 10 targets in his first game. So I think that both of these guys are good options. We'll say not bad. Who do you like here?
I mean, considering the state of the tight end position at the moment, they're both good options, to be honest. It just kind of – you're missing a lot of the top guys that were drafted and or just very much disappointment. You know, Kyle Pitts has been a real disappointment, a guy that's hard to start right now. Dawson Knox, a guy that was a higher drafted tight end, another one that's almost impossible to start just because of the ups and downs and ebbs and flows. But then we just lost Goddard. We just lost Zach Ertz. We've lost – all of these guys to injuries, Waller, etc. You know, and George Kittle's become more of a blocker than a pass receiver. So it just kind of the tight end position's very tough to me. So where it's Greg Dulcich and it's Pat Freiermuth, like they're both very good options in my opinion to start this week. It's like especially considering the landscape. I was very disappointed by Dulcich. He had a pretty good matchup last week, and I just thought that the way that Russ has been playing, the way that they have targeted him, that he would continue that consistent play.
Agreed.
But this week he gets another one. You know, the Raiders have allowed five tight end ones this season, which is up there. It's up in the top 10 in the league of how many they've given up over the first 11 weeks of the season. So they're right there. Pat Freiermuth, not so much. Cincinnati's actually been pretty good. They've actually allowed four. So, I mean, they're basically – it's a pretty much a draw. But I'm – right now I lean Dulcich. I just think the upside's a little bit more there, especially if Jerry Jeudy misses. There's also some injuries with Kendall Hinton. KJ Hamler's missing. So the pass catchers, as far as Denver goes, are very depleted at the moment. So I think Dulcich could be in line for some more targets, but I kind of thought that again last week. So the Broncos are a hard forecast, especially with the way that Russell Wilson's playing. But Freiermuth's not much better. I mean, Kenny Pickett has shown flashes, but it's not like Pickett's like set in stone. You know, you can still tell he's a rookie, but he does tend to target Freiermuth a decent amount. So in a game that might be a little bit more pass heavy, I'm going to give the edge to Freiermuth.
Okay.
I think.
I thought we were going to disagree there for a second. I thought we were that close.
Dulcich, I mean, they're literally back to back. I'm at 7-8 right now. So like,
I'll probably flip
that like four times by the time the weekend ends. Honestly, I'm not going to lie to you people. That's how rankings work. I've always said it, you know, I mean, they're fluid until that game kicks off because it's tough. You really do. You go back and forth, you know, you notice a defensive matchup. Someone gets hurt at practice on Friday, you know, it changes a lot of things so that they're just so fluid. And when you're talking here, you're talking minuscule points, especially at tight end, like 7-8, you're talking like a point. And it could matter. Obviously, you can lose by 1/10 in a fantasy league. You could lose by 1/10 in football, too, if they had tens of points. But, they do. You know, it just – I think I'm going to still stick with Freiermuth, I think, here. Just because I think his volume might be a little bit heavier in a game that – since that Pittsburgh might be forced to throw a little bit more than Denver against – the Raiders.
Yeah, the Bengals have been pretty respectful to the tight end position, but two players in particular have had double-digit targets against them, and those are Mark Andrews and Pat Freiermuth. Pat Freiermuth had 5 catches on 10 targets for 75 receiving yards week one up against the Bengals. I'm going to go that direction again here. I just don't trust the Broncos. I don't trust Russell Wilson. And when we're looking at a rookie tight end still, you're going to get that volatility. 1 week he's up. Obviously, we saw him down last week. The Raiders, just a couple of weeks ago, they were playing the Jaguars. I was all over Evan Ingram. Oh, the Raiders, they're allowing this many fantasy points to the tight end position. Oh, Evan Ingram's had a safe floor. He's going to be great. He didn't do nothing. He didn't do anything. Last week, Kate Otten going up against the Seattle Seahawks. Most fantasy points allowed to the position. Tom Brady's thrown over 40 times in the last 7 games. 3 of those were over 50 passing attempts. He didn't do anything. Nothing special whatsoever. So I do like the upside for Dulcich this week. It's just that who is trusting the Broncos offense right now? You know what I mean? Exactly. Like Jerry Jeudy seemed like he was safe. He got hurt in the first play. I was like, that's the only guy I'm willing to throw out there for the Broncos. Oh, look, he's dead. The game didn't even start yet. It's killing me. So
the injuries have been absurd.
Oh, dude.
It's a side note.
Absolutely. Dude, in consecutive weeks, I've had a team lose Mike Williams, Breece Hall, and Dallas Goedert. Like,
yeah, my Scott Fishbowl team just, I couldn't do it. I was doing good. I was like, I got this. Then literally in the same week, I like lost. I don't know if it was the same week or it was back-to-back weeks. I lost like Breece Hall. I lost Jamar Chase. I have lost J.K. Dobbins. I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire disappeared. Yeah, my team just went. It was like riding pretty high. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm doing well. And then just poof.
Dude, I had my back up against the wall, right? Like I lose Breece Hall. I lose Mike Williams. I'm like, I'm still in it. Like I've scored the third most points. Like I cannot give up on this season. I win all in last year by moving. What was it? I moved Deshaun Watson and a first for Derek Carr. Cause I don't remember who I had last year, but they got hurt. So I need another quarterback. So I made that all in move, giving up my first round pick. Then I wound up trading for the first overall for Breece Hall, just a roller coaster ride. I traded for Patrick Mahomes. I gave up literally my entire future. I gave like tons and tons of picks, plus Breece Hall, actually. I get Patrick Mahomes. I'm excited. I'm like, all right, we're good. And then freaking Goddard gets hurt. Like, God.
Yeah.
It was so tough. It was like,
I literally made it in my home league. I made a trade for Mark Andrews, got 1 week out of him, got hurt. I was like, oh my God. And that was after I already rostered Darren Waller. Waller was my tight end last year. So then like I was getting tired of him being in, out. I'm like, all right, my team's pretty deep. Like, I ended up trading, I think, like Mike Williams, a depth running back, and some picks to get Andrews. It was a fair price, and it just then he got hurt. I was like, dang it.
Yeah. Oh, and Rashad Bateman got hurt too. Obviously, he wasn't doing much on that team, but
I had Bateman on my Superflex team too, or my Scott Fishbowl team. So
to start the year, he was great. Obviously, he faded a bit, but you know, I still think that we would have liked to have him around for the end of the season with Lamar. But whatever. Yeah.
Oh, I had Burks too. You name it. If they got hurt this year, I had him in Scott Fishbowl.
Well, at least Burks is coming back tonight. We'll see what we get out of him.
I'm down. I'm like out of a playoff spot by like 140 points. There's no hope.
All right. Let's pay some bills really quick here. I'm going to get a quick word from the sponsors, and then we're going to come back with the second half of the show here. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During the WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today and receive a special offer. Bet 100, win 100. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offers subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700. And we're also brought to you by the SGPN World Cup Free Roll. SGPN is giving away $250 cash plus a $250 gift card to the winner. Enter today exclusively on the SGPN app and make sure to check out all the World Cup content on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And lastly, be sure to get your holiday shopping done early at the SGPN merch store. The SGPN gear is the perfect stocking stuffer for the degen in your life. Plus, until Thanksgiving, you get 10% off when you use promo code DallasSucks. That's store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com, promo code DallasSucks. All right, we're back into it. We got a couple of flex questions here. We're going to grade some trades, and then we're going to make some fantasy football over-under picks and head into our Thursday nights watching some Thursday night football. But you're watching this on a Saturday morning, so you don't really care too much about that.
You already know it's like you knew the future.
I know.
They're going to know if we're right before we're right.
Exactly. All right, first flex question we have here, a little bit of a tougher one. I feel like I know where we're going with this. Brian Robinson Jr. at Houston, Michael Carter at New England, or Drake London versus Chicago. Who you like here?
All right, so we got Carter, Brian Robinson, and Drake London.
Correct.
I
feel like we've already given the answer here. At least I know mine, and I feel like it's on par with what we've
done. If you know, I'm actually not okay. I know, and this is going to sound contradictory because I said I think that the Washington's going to go through the ground. I'm actually going to go Michael Carter. Okay. I guess it depends on what format you're really playing.
PPR.
We're playing PPR, it's 100% Michael Carter. I think that New England is going to be a team that they're not going to necessarily be able to run the ball on them, but they're going to probably be playing a fairly close game. And I think that they're going to use that game. I mean, they ran against the Bills. I mean, the Bills aren't the greatest defense against the run, but the numbers statistically, they were pretty good, a little bit better than New England at the times. So I do think that the Jets can run on them, not a ton, but I think Michael Carter's going to have a pretty big game. I think he finds the end zone, and he's going to see a little bit more in the passing game. Brian Robinson, for me, is very Montgomery-esque. He's very inefficient kind of on the ground. He kind of just gets what's there. I never really loved Brian Robinson. I know that Washington kind of dubbed him as their starter. I think Gibson's the better running back still, talent-wise, and I think Gibson's the better fantasy option. I've been ranking Gibson higher than him every single week. As far as it goes, just because I think that he has a better chance of scoring touchdowns. I think he has a better chance of seeing a little bit more work. And obviously most of your rankings are half PPR. At least that's what I do. So it's, for me, it's normally Gibson over Robinson. And I actually have Robinson as like RB32 this week. I do think they use him a lot. I just don't think, unless he finds the end zone, he's not going to get you viable fantasy points. That's just how it works. If you're a ground and pound running back, unless you find the end zone, you're not really fantasy relevant. And it's hard to rely on that because then you're just basically saying, I'm going to rely on touchdown dependency. And unfortunately, Drake London's in the same situation. London, again, last week had a good week for fantasy. And we're like, yay, London's back. But really, he had a Drake London game and just happened to score a touchdown. Do you know what I mean? So he doesn't see a ton of volume. There's not a lot of passing volume in that offense. So again, unless he scores a touchdown, he's wide receiver 60. then he's wide receiver 25 if he scores a touchdown.
I got him at 30. I got him at 35.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, when you look
no,
at
I know,
it,
I
like,
feel you.
I don't have him ranked there. Yeah, I have him ranked in the 30s or 40s. But ultimately, that's how it works. Is it seems like his games are – he's over wide receiver 60 unless he scores a touchdown. If he scores a touchdown, then, yeah, he's up into the 30s or 20s. But it seems like lately it's the volume isn't there for him to have a productive PPR week even if he doesn't score, where you have other guys that can. So, and I think Michael Carter's that option. I like him, honestly, a lot better than both these guys. He's a guy that I would definitely start.
All right. Well, now we do disagree on something because I do have Brian Robinson. And I honestly, I have Carter ranked higher. I have him at 25 and 30. And I do think that Carter's going to get a lot of concentration in the offense. But I would bet that he is less likely to score a touchdown and Robinson is more likely to find pay dirt. Houston is just they're hemorrhaging yards on the ground, right? They've allowed the most fantasy points to the running back position. New England has allowed the fewest, and that's the biggest flop there. I agree. I have London way outside of this. So he's at wide receiver 35 for me. I have Robinson at RB 30 and I have Carter at RB 25. And I will probably have to tinker with that a bit. You know, if you're looking at the Fantasy Pros comparison, Robinson at 27 and Carter at 28. And again, that's in PPR formats. For me, Carter is going to have to take a big one to the house because I feel like if they get down in the red zone, the Patriots are going to, you know, they're going to dog walk them, you know, and it'll most likely be the James Robinson show as he gets more acclimated in the offense. I feel like he's the guy to get used in the red zone. And I feel like the Patriots defense is good enough to, you know, stop that big play, you know, not allow Michael Carter to make those big splash plays, on the swing routes or the up routes upfield and things like that. Because again, they've played very well up against the running back position. I hear you with Robinson. I have not been on that boat whatsoever, but the Commandos are. They just want to give this dude all of the volume. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Hey, I don't understand why the 49ers gave up four picks for CMC when they have a perfectly good running back in Elijah Mitchell. But it's football.
Gave up four picks and then just like 50-50 split his backfield. Yeah, that made a lot of sense. They gave at least Mitchell if they did that, they should have at least given him like the majority of the touches. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
they gave Elijah Mitchell more touches in the red zone his first week back than CMC. Like, wow. The ball's on Shanahan. I don't know who this guy thinks he is, but hey, it's working out. They're not losing games, so what are we supposed to say? You know what I mean? Like, they're not trying to win us fantasy leagues. They're trying to go to the damn Super Bowl. Like, what do you want, you know? So, yeah, because of that, because the Commandos are constantly giving me that volume, they're prioritizing him. And, again, in a game where you have that juicy matchup, I got to lean his way. Like I said, I still have Carter ranked higher. I'm probably going to have to hone that in and bring it a little bit closer. All right, next up, we've got receiver heavy. We've got Cortland Sutton versus the Raiders. We've got Gabe Davis versus Cleveland, now in Detroit. And then we've got Donta Foreman at Baltimore. I can't say no to the volume to Donta Foreman. I mean, he had 30 carries last week. I don't think he'll have 30 carries this week, but I cannot deny him whatsoever. And I've already told you I'm way off the Broncos.
Yeah, for me, I don't love Cortland Sutton. I really thought that he was going to have that quote unquote breakout type season this year with Russell Wilson, but Russell Wilson, that whole trade, I mean, everything's been a little bit disappointing for me far as that offense goes. So
did you see the video of the guy that put a hex on Russell Wilson?
No,
go check that out. I retweeted it. It's hilarious. This guy's like, oh, hey, this is my kitchen. I'm making this. And he's like, oh, look at this charcuterie board. And oh, over here, I have my anti-Russell Wilson shrine. He's like doing voodoo on him.
Apparently, maybe. I'm not going
to. It's working.
I know. I'm just going to say I'm not going to piss that guy off. I don't know who he is, but I ain't pissing him off because it's working. So I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I have Cortland Sutton at wide receiver 25, but that's significantly less than Davis, who I have at 14. Davis is very boomer bust, so you have to know what you're getting into when you go to start him. Have to be okay with being disappointed because there's that good chance. I mean, it really is. It's kind of how he is. Some weeks he's going to score you 30. Next week he's going to score you one. I mean, it's just kind of how Gabe Davis rolls. It's just the way his role in the offense. So I'm probably going to roll Foreman, like you said. I don't have Foreman ranked very high, but it would depend on how my team's built. If I'm shooting and I need my flex guy to be my upside play, I got like a safe, like, I got, I don't know, Deebo Samuel or like a Terry McLaurin, who's going to be safe wide receiver two at least. Then maybe I shoot Gabe Davis. If I'm playing a team that I feel like I need that upside, maybe I'm facing a Justin, someone who has Justin Jefferson or someone who has Diggs, who that's might a have point. A big day. I might shoot with Gabe Davis because the upside's significantly higher, I think. Because I do think Baker Mayfield might hinder the Panthers a bit, as well as there's some rumors that I've seen that I think Darnold might play a little bit. So you might get like a rotation at quarterback, which could be weird.
Not good.
And Chuba Hubbard still is healthy. I know Foreman saw a lot of the volume last week, but Hubbard could see a little bit more touches this week because they do like Hubbard. And originally it started as Chuba Hubbard until he got hurt. And then
Foreman I never bought it. Over that I never bought it. Even that week, I know Chuba found the end zone, but Foreman still outproduced him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that first week where they did list him as a starter, I still wasn't buying it. I was trying to buy up all the Foreman I could.
Yeah.
That Sheriff Bateman that I mentioned, I traded him and a fourth for Dante Foreman. And look, that paid out huge.
They brought him in, and you kind of thought when they brought him in that he was going to take that backup role. So I do agree with you. I think that there's enough touches taken from him because of Chuba. On the basis that they want to, I think they kind of want to see what he is. I mean, this team's really rebuilding at this point. I mean, they're not totally rebuilding, but they're not competing for anything. I think they just want to see, okay, yeah, Foreman can win us some games, but he's not the answer long term. Let's see if Chuba has a value to us in this offense, or at least to this franchise going forward. So I have him at running back 19. Baltimore's not the best matchup either against running backs. So for me, I'm gonna go Davis, unless I want a safe play. Like you said, the volume for Foreman feels a little bit safer like that 8 to 10 point range. If he finds the end zone, you're going to probably be up in the teens, but it'll just be really touchdown dependent there.
Well, I trust the Panthers to run the ball a lot. We've already mentioned the bad quarterbacks. That's how you're going to protect your quarterback and your offense is just, hey, let's gather up the boys. Let's gather the troops on the O-line and push this ball down the field and see what we get out of it. And it's worked for them so far. I don't expect Foreman to have 30 touches again. Like I realistically like him to get anywhere from 18 to 22. You'll probably see Chuba get in there with maybe even 8 to 10, but I like Foreman's upside more. He's looked like the better RB there. Like I said, even when they said Chuba was our guy, I was like, no. Back up. That's just not going to be the way it plays out here. Like Foreman was great at the end of last year. He was another, you know, trade deadline, you know, guy that, again, you don't have to overspend on that should give you a healthy, safe floor, like you had mentioned, down the stretch of the season, right? Like that guy that you can trust for 8 to 10 points, give me that to throw in my flex, you know? I think where I had already acquired him, I had, you know, Aaron Jones, I had Joe Mixon, Elijah Mitchell coming back from injury. So I felt really good about putting him into that mix where I'm always going to be able to roll out a very steady amount of running backs, you know, in my starting spot and my flex.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I don't hate it. It's just the matchup for Baltimore is just not conducive for running backs. I mean, it's not the hardest.
13th fewest fantasy points to the running back
really
position.
It's really middle of the pack, but it's just kind of like...
It doesn't give you that, like, sure feel confidence.
Yeah, and I mean, but honestly, neither does Davis, so...
Yeah.
You could coin flip those two, I feel like, and...
Going to get a lot of Greg Newsome this week. A lot of Greg Newsome on Gabe Davis this week, maybe some John Johnson. I feel like he can make some plays on those guys. Like I would trust. But again, I don't know if I said this before, but I've told you before, the Bills are on my shit list. So I had Gabe Davis way down until I found out, you know, that the game was being moved to Detroit. And when I put this grouping together, I was under the impression that, you know, Gabe Davis was going to be playing in the snow. He's going to be making snow angels.
Yeah, so. The tough thing is honestly, to tell you the truth, the Bills, I watch them every Sunday. I'm a Bills fan. Obviously, if you're not watching this, you wouldn't see all the Bills shrine behind me. But the issue with Gabe Davis sometimes is they don't really move him around a ton. He kind of just plays on the outside, and he just draws – sometimes it draws the harder corners, and he doesn't really get targeted as much. Their main focus in the pass game is Diggs. They move him around. They put him in different spots. They get him a little bit more creative. So Davis is kind of an accessory that really, unless they hit that deep shot, you don't see him produce a lot for fantasy. So that's the struggle with Davis. That's why I said you got to know what you're getting into. If you're going to start him, man, be ready to be burned because it very well could happen. But he could also win you a week. We saw it in that playoff game. You know, like four touchdowns. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like the upside's there. I mean, he scored, I think, the longest play in the NFL this year on that touchdown in, mm-hmm, what was it, 2 weeks ago, that 98-yard bomb or 90-yard bomb there. So the upside's huge. It's just the lows are very low.
Right.
Very high highs and very low lows. So
I was looking forward to watching Josh Allen just, you know, rocket that ball through the wind, you know, but, you know, definitely a little bit more upside this week, you know, in the dome against Detroit. So yeah, I agree with you. They're pretty close, but like we both said, the volume is king. We're leaning towards Foreman there. All right, let's look at some trade grades. Jeremy, take these however you like. Redraft, dynasty, I hate this trade, I'm vetoing this. Who is the commissioner of this league? These guys are crazy. I want this side, I want that side, whatever it is. Just let's hear your feedback. All right. Side A, we got Kenny Walker, T. Higgins, Mike Williams, four, Travis Kelce, Leo Fournette, Paris Campbell. What do you like here?
I mean, it's really, this is, it sounds very lopsided. Like, if you told me this, I would sit there and be like, someone got Walker, Higgins, and Mike Williams for basically Travis Kelce at this point.
Travis Kelce, yeah.
But if you really think about it, I almost like the Travis Kelce side, especially if you're playing in, like, a redraft format. Mm-hmm. Dynasty, I'm obviously taking side A. It's heavily side A for me there. Walker has proven to be the guy. Higgins is a great wide receiver, even when long-term. Chase is healthy, yeah. Long-term. Yeah. Mike Williams still has length on his career left. I know he's, mm-hmm, been battling injuries this year, but all three of those long careers ahead of him. Leonard Fournette, not so much. Paris Campbell, we've seen he can't necessarily stay healthy all the time. He's having a good year this year, but, mm-hmm, unfortunately, and that's the struggle with him, is that he's always had a struggle to stay healthy. He's always been talented, just happens to be that he's staying healthy this year. He's having a good year, but it's tough to not take the Kelce side because of what we talked about earlier when we're talking about the Dulcich start sit with Freiermuth. You know, Kelce is the only tight end to not finish outside the top three this season, other than one week. That's, mm-hmm, the only time that he did. So Travis Kelce really is a cheat code at the tight end position. It almost gives you a fifth wide receiver, fourth wide receiver, depending on how many you start. Yep. So the positional advantage leans heavily to side B for me, just because of Kelce. And Campbell and Fournette are going to have enough value. I know Rashad White's taking his job, but Leonard Fournette's going to still see some touches to be a flex play. So, yeah, I honestly, redraft, I'm going to take B. Dynasty, mm-hmm, I'd take A. So I'll give you both.
Okay. Yeah, no. I really only want side A in both formats, because if you're getting off Kelce, it means you have another tight end. You got to have somebody that you trust, right? Like, I don't know who it is. Maybe they're, you know, banking on David Njoku to come back healthy with, you know, with Deshaun Watson. Maybe that's the case. But could you think of another tight end that you would be comfortable in giving away Kelce? I can't. I mean, it's highly unlikely that the guy would be Mark Andrews.
If you had Dalton Schultz, okay. Tyler Higbee, if you're feeling really,
frisky. No. I played that game. No.
Just because you're expecting, burned. You know, I feel like I could see somebody making a deal like this, like, oh, I'm weak at running back. Maybe they had Cooper Kupp and they had Higbee as well, you know, and they're like, oh, I really need a wide receiver, but oh, I have Kelce too. So, like, oh, well, Higbee's going to see more because Kupp's down. I'll move Kelce. Because I can get the most for Kelce. Like, he's one of the best trade targets. You know what I mean? If you want to move and add a couple positional players, Kelsey's the trade. It's just, I mean, Hockenson, if you had Hockenson, it depends on how the draft went. You know, some people might have been down on Hockenson or Komet. You know, maybe someone really believes in Cole Komet that they got off waivers. So I could see where someone trades Kelce.
I wouldn't do that.
Where it's even risky, you know what I mean? Like that. Right. Like, I could see someone picking up Komet and be like, all right, I'll just trade Kelce, get these two guys, and now I got Komet. And then you could get caught.
Yeah, you might get caught with your pants down. I like getting an RB1 in Kenneth Walker. He had a low game last week, but he still had six catches in a bad week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he was still used no matter what. He and Travis Kelce have the safest floors here. T. Higgins has been on and off with injuries. Mike Williams, we're still waiting for him to come back. I like Paris Campbell with Matt Ryan at quarterback, so that definitely upgrades his value. Leo Fournette, we're not sure, you know, how long he's going to be out. Is it going to be a one-week thing or a multi-week thing? And that's the thing for me, is like the roster utility that I'm getting back from side A, whether it's for the rest of this season, whether it's dynasty or going forward, I feel like I'm getting more, right? Like there may be some weeks where you don't know if you're supposed to start Paris Campbell. There could be some weeks where we just see the same Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette could come back and somehow even be worse than he has been because he's going to be coming back off an injury. So for me, I'm taking Kenny Walker, T. Higgins, and Mike Williams. I feel like they're just easy locks in my lineup for the rest of the season and going forward as long as they're healthy.
I don't hate it. Like I said, I can make an argument either way, both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to the next one. I think this one's a very good dynasty conversation. Justin Fields straight up for Ja'Marr Chase. I feel like for redraft, like anybody will give up the spare quarterback, you know what I mean? Like, especially in a single QB league. So what do you think about this one long-term?
If we're looking at this long-term, I'm staying with Chase. I like Justin Fields. I like what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But there's still that bust factor there. Ja'Marr Chase, to me, has proven that he's not a bust. Even this year, he was having a decent year. It was a little down in the beginning, but he was still having a very good year. Very dynamic player.
He was on the upswing before getting hurt, for sure.
Yeah, and then he gets hurt, and now he's kind of down. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're looking at Dynasty, it is what it is. You're going to lose this year, but the receiver shelf life tends to be a little bit longer. And with Fields really relying on his legs at the moment, which is making him very fantasy relevant, there still needs to be a step made at the passing aspect of his game to continue to be an NFL quarterback. So I would be worried that Fields – it's the same argument we made with Hurts too, though. So, you know, it's tough. It's like, yes, he's good with his legs, but he still needs that step with a passer. Like, the NFL could replace him. They could do this. They could do that. Mm-hmm. And Hurts just continues to defy that and continues to be a good quarterback. And he's going to be in Philly, I think, for a little bit still. So I think Fields can do that. I'm not saying that he's not going to. But it's way too risky for me to give up Ja'Marr Chase, who is like a bona fide top five wide receiver for Dynasty for fantasy going forward, tied with Burrow, who has proven that he's a NFL level quarterback for sure. So for me, I would easily gobble up the Chase side here.
I think it would be really difficult for me to give up Chase. Like, I don't know of a wide receiver group where I'm going to have him second or third, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like the utility on my roster for Justin Fields, it's more likely that I do own him as my third or fourth quarterback. I think that's more relevant in the fantasy football community. You know, you were able to get Fields for a lot cheaper, whether it be previous trades, the you know, your rookie drafts or whatever. I think that he still had less upside. A lot of people were lower on him, you know, coming out of his class, right? Like, he wasn't Trevor Lawrence. You know, he was give me another one. Damn it. Why am I drawing a blank? Don't even get me started on Trey Lance.
Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, again, he was right there. I mean, for my rookie drafts, you know, it was Lawrence, Fields, and Lance. Those were like the three that went early. And then Zach Wilson was really the one who fell. Mac Jones fell as far as fantasy drafts went. But like Fields, again, then they'll had a huge buy window when he just kind of face planted in year one. So I think if you got Fields, you could have, like if you said, for like the third quarterback, it's highly likely that maybe you made a trade once that first year happened and everybody's like, oh, this kid's bad. I'm going to move on from him.
Exactly.
You know? So I could see that. But I honestly could see where Chase is a guy that you could be disposable, only just because, I mean, it depends on your league and how the Dynasty League format falls. But like, I feel like Chase could be a guy that you have. Maybe he's not like your third wide receiver, but he could be your first, but you could have a grouping that has a pretty good outlook. You know, you could have, you could have been a decent team. Maybe you got Chase and then this year you were decent middle of the pack. You know, you got an Olave, you got a Garrett Wilson, you know, like you're looking at like, hey, I have this guy, he's not as good, but like I can move Chase and I have Taylor Heineke as my second quarterback in a super flex, you know, like, I could see a path for that, but I still feel like I'm holding Chase and I'm just going to draft a quarterback this coming year in Dynasty, depending on how my picks play out. But maybe if I have no picks that are coming up, like I could see a scenario where it happens, but I ideally don't want to. Do you know what I mean?
For me to pull the trigger on this, I agree. I have to be sitting in a situation where I've got, you know, Heineke, I've got Kenny Pickett, I've got Matt Ryan. I need to pivot off of older quarterbacks. In our Dynasty League that we're in together, the 101, I traded Stafford, Hayden Hurst, and Zay Jones for Justin Fields. And that was before the Cowboys game. I'm feeling damn good about that. All I wanted to do in that trade was just get off of Matt Stafford. That's it. I just wanted to get off of him. He's obviously declining this year. I think he's playing hurt. And I felt great about that. And that was before Fields even, I mean, he had a good game or two, but he hadn't really taken off yet. He wasn't putting up, you know, the 40-point games.
Yeah, you got him right at the perfect time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's not always going to happen. That's not always going to happen.
But it could have went the other way. You know what I mean? That's just how trades work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Cooper Kupp doesn't get hurt. You know, you get Van Jefferson back, and, you know, maybe Kyren Williams comes back and he plays well and the offense turns around. Yeah, absolutely. That's it's never always going to work out that way. Believe me, dude, I traded Tyreek Hill for James Robinson, Brandon Cooks, and DJ Moore. That didn't work out. Okay. It's not looking good.
Jamar Chase in his rookie year. So don't even get me started. I'm still pissed about it.
I traded you Calvin Ridley, and then he got suspended.
Yeah, that did work out. That worked out pretty good.
It's going to work out next year. It's going to work out next year.
Yeah, I still love my boy Calvin Ridley. But
I do too. But all right, let's get back into it here. We got a couple more trades, and we'll make the over-unders pretty quick here. Next up, I like this one a lot. This one feels like a fair trade. Side A is Davante Adams and Nick Chubb. Side B is Aaron Jones and Deebo Samuel. I think that both sides have a lot of upside here. It's kind of tough for me to interpret. You really just got to pick your poison. What you like the most?
I feel like this is like a trade that I'm just kind of like, why did they? I feel like they made this trade just a trade.
Yeah, that's a good point because it's super even.
It is, and it's just like Nick Chubb kind of started the season real hot. You know, he's still one of the best runners in the NFL.
Yeah.
But, like, he's kind of fallen off. You know, the last couple of weeks he's finished in that normal range, you know, that mm-hmm. 6 to 10 range is kind of where he falls in fantasy, just on a lack of the PPR upside, especially because most leagues I feel like are PPR or half. So he kind of falls in that mid-level RB1. It's not bad, not good. But Aaron Jones has been sitting in that same spot. You know, I mean, he had some bad weeks, but he's kind of turned mm-hmm. around. He's kind of that low-end RB1 again. I think the upgrade I really like is the Davante Adams side. I know he's boom or bust, but I feel like Adams has more upside than Deebo Samuel mm-hmm. just because of the Christian McCaffrey addition. You know, you've got Elijah Mitchell coming back, and I kind of felt like this is where it's been, and you've seen it the last couple weeks. I mean, it's not like Deebo's having bad games, but he's not going to have those explosive games. You're not going to mm-hmm. see him in the backfield as much. Yeah, here or there, they might run him in the gadget, but McCaffrey's now that guy, you know. McCaffrey can run with some power to him. So I feel like Deebo's kind of lost a little bit of that gadget type of mm-hmm. his game, but that's really mm-hmm. what made his game for fantasy. Deebo's a good wide receiver at the NFL level, but he's not great. And that's I've always been
kind so of running back.
Down. Yeah, he's just I've also been down on him in general. You know, I get a lot of questions like at the beginning of the season. You know, like I have some dynasty ranks up at FTN's website, and me and Jeff Radcliffe are the only two that have it. And like Radcliffe had Deebo really high, which is fair. You know what I mean? And if you like Deebo, it's good. It's
coming off a big season. I get it.
And I had him significantly lower, but I just didn't mm-hmm. like Deebo Samuel. So like, but we got that question. Oh, why are you guys so far apart on him? You know, it just you're personal. It's how you feel about that guy and where you're at. So for me, I just didn't like that Deebo didn't have necessarily a proven huge receiving aspect to his game. Like, yes, he can do it. He's good at it. I'm not saying he's bad, and I'm not saying that he's a terrible wide receiver. But Davante Adams has proven that he's a wide receiver. Deebo Samuel is kind of a wide receiver, but his real value came in those touchdowns, those rushing attempts, that mm-hmm. ability to be used almost as a Swiss Army knife, where I feel like Shanahan's gotten away from that now that he has CMC. Ayuk's starting to really come into his own and be a better wide receiver. So Deebo's still getting some work, and he's not terrible, but Davante Adams is the guy in Oakland or Las Vegas. Gosh. You know, I knew I would do that. You know, I haven't done that since they moved, and here it is. You know,
it's I wrote Pat Freiermuth. It's all right. Like, it happens.
They should have stayed in Oakland. Sorry, Oakland fans. But
no one's going to the games, man. I mean, what are you going to do?
It's whatever. But anyways, I still lean Davante Adams, Nick Chubb. I'm just going to end now because I am embarrassed I said Oakland over Vegas.
You're okay, bud. You're all right. I did the Redskins thing for a while, and then like my partners to my right and left would be like, football team, like, okay, my bad. Like, you know, there's some acclimation. It's all good. I'm in agreement with you, really, because the upswings have really gone in favor of Davante Adams and Nick Chubb, given their rosters. Nick Chubb is about to get back Deshaun Watson. I would anticipate, even if Watson is rusty, he's going to, you know, evolve the offense a little bit. Things are going to run a little bit more smoothly, less stalled drives, more visits to the red zone, and hopefully more scoring. Davante Adams, same quarterback, but Hunter Renfrow to the IR, Darren Waller getting shut down. Like, there's more opportunity that should naturally flow his way with these injuries, albeit Hunter Renfrow and Waller weren't doing much this season, but he's going to have that consistency. I know he's questionable for this week, but I like his opportunity to finish the season strong with less talent on the roster. And I like Nick Chubb's chances just because of the, supposed upcoming Deshaun Watson upside increase. Love Aaron Jones. He's finally starting to get that, Alvin Kamara level production, what I felt like he was going to start the year with. He didn't. Finally getting it now. And you had mentioned Debo. CMC was a good point, but also Elijah Mitchell is back, and they're kind of splitting hairs there. Elijah Mitchell had, more red zone carries than CMC in his first game back, which is unbelievable. The emergence of Brandon Ayuk, and eventually George Kittle has to score a touchdown. So a little too many mouths to feed there. And I agree with you, obviously, the lack of, rushing upside for Debo going forward, going to hinder him in fantasy. Do we know if he cleared his bonuses yet? Because that's going to suck. That's going to suck for him if not. Because I know that he had some crazy contract was. He had some crazy incentives for the rushing, and there's just no need anymore when you have Elijah Mitchell, who averaged 100 all-purpose yards per game as a rookie. Everyone just forgets. I was listening to Michael Fabiano today on the radio just burying the 49ers for not using CMC enough. And just like, bro, like, Elijah Mitchell is good at football. Like, you need to just calm down, all right? Like, they're trying to win games. We're trying to win fantasy leagues. Like, there's a difference.
I'm not saying Mitchell's bad, but, like, it's CMC. Go out and you make that deal. It really should be CMC leading those touches. Yeah, give Mitchell here or there. And if he finds success, okay, maybe ride him. But, mm-hmm. I mean, Mitchell, he wasn't having a bad game, but it's like it wasn't like he was playing better than McCaffrey, It's kind of like that.
I want to coach an NFL team. They're not going to let me, all right? If they did, I'd give CMC more touches, but they're not letting me coach. They're not letting me coach or be a coordinator.
But again, I think Mitchell, if I remember, I'm not 100% because I don't have that memorized, but I think Mitchell's a little bit more sturdier, we'll put it that way, a little thicker.
Yeah, he is a strong guy. He's a strong guy. But there's
the reasoning behind it. But see, that's what they're going to, and that's where Debo's not getting those touches now. Maybe they're leaning to Elijah Mitchell, who's a very good football player, like you said, aside from Debo Samuel, who kind of took that role last year to take some of those hits off of Elijah Mitchell or when Mitchell was missing. So
exactly.
I could also see them being a little bit stingy and be like, yeah, Debo, we ain't giving you your incentives. We don't need you.
Well, they had to give up 4 draft picks for CMC. So they're paying up one way or the other, whether it's paying to Debo or paying in draft capital. They gave up some assets. So. All right, man, this has been a great show. We're going to just kind of rapid fire here on the over-under picks for the fantasy point projections. We've got one from each position, a quarterback, a running back, a receiver, and a tight end. First up, we've got Justin Herbert, 19.5 fantasy points at the Kansas City Chiefs. Over-under.
Under.
He's been under the past 2 weeks. However, Kansas City is allowing the 4th most fantasy points to the quarterback position. So I'm going to buy the dip in Herbert. He's going to come up this week. I'm going the over. We've got Jonathan Taylor versus the Eagles, 14.5.
Over.
Okay. I'm going under here. I feel like it'll be close.
Philly, I think he's over. I mean, we saw what, we just said the Commanders did to them with Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson, far less talented than the Jonathan Taylor. Colts offensive line looked a little bit better now that Saturday's there. I think Saturday's realized, hey, let's get these offensive linemen blocking downhill a little bit. Let's not, let's get back to Colts football here,
Let's run the ball. Let's run the ball.
So, a former center, I no surprise he wants to run the ball, but, I think they could find a little bit of a gap there. And I think Taylor has a pretty big week. I have him as top 5 this week. So
right on.
Over 14.5 easy.
I don't know where I have him in the rankings. I might be able to get that pulled up. Deion Jackson going to be back, baby. They love that Deion when he healthy. They love them some Deion Jackson. That was the old regime. You're right. You're not wrong. Why would we think that? No, I love that video of Jeff Saturday and Peyton Manning arguing. He's like, we need to run the ball. It's like, you're a center, Jeff. You don't call plays.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it comes out and Jonathan Taylor touches the ball pretty much every play. No.
I love it. Next up, we've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, 12.5. Friendly number, but at the Giants, not a friendly matchup. What do you think here?
I'm going to say over.
I think he's a pretty big integral part of that Lions offense. I know the Giants have been pretty tough and stingy to wide receivers, but they kind of move Amon Ra around. He's kind of the only option. I mean, I know they have other guys there. I mean, it's not like he's the only guy out there, but like he sees a pretty good amount of target share in a small range that I could see for same PPR. I think he can get there. I think he scores. So I think he can get to 12.
I'm not worried about James Mitchell or Brock Wright this week. So yeah, give me the over. Give me the over there. I feel like the lesser talented receivers might get hogtied by the Giants defense. I feel like it's a big Amon Ra week.
The Giants defense moves corners. So I think Amon Ra could get a better share because I think that the outside corners are a little better.
Right.
If I remember correctly for the Giants. So.
Yeah. And like you said, they move Amon Ra around. He's a slot guy. He's on the outside. He's going to be in motion. He's going to be used as a gadget play. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he should be fine this week. I like him over 12.5. And then last up here, Hayden Hurst taking on Pittsburgh, who has given the 11th fewest fantasy points to the tight end position. We're looking at, sorry, I didn't see the number, 9.5.
I'm going to get spicy. I'm going to go over.
Yeah.
They're not the best defense, but they're not the worst to tight ends. And I think without Jamar Chase, they're going to be looking at least Hayden Hurst's way. He's seen a decent target share every week, so.
I like the tight ends in that game. I like me some Hayden Hurst. I like me some Pat Freiermuth. And similar to the Freiermuth argument that I made earlier, right? He and Mark Andrews had the most fantasy, or not most fantasy, the most targets up against who were they playing? The Bengals. Duh, the Bengals. Hello. And in this same matchup going up against the Steelers, Hayden Hurst has 8. And the only one who went over that was David Njoku. So another very good option. In week 1, Hayden Hurst had 5 catches on 8 targets for 46 receiving yards. Only 7.3 fantasy points, but it's been a long time since week 1, and Hayden Hurst he's got a pretty big focal point in that offense right now. So I like the over there too.
And I'll say Hayden Hurst anytime touchdown scorer. I bet she scores.
I like it. I like it. Like I said, I like the tight ends in that game. I would like – give me him and Freiermuth for the parlay. Let's go.
Ooh, spicy. Let's go.
Spicy indeed. I'm also going to need Kenny Pickett on the card with an interception and
with 7 interceptions. No, just one.
All right, very good, man. I appreciate you coming on. Been a long one and a good one. Let everybody know where they can find you and what content do we need to be looking out for. What articles? What do we need to be searching for the popes?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And yeah, you can find all my content over at FTN Fantasy. I have a Friday one is a ECR consensus versus FTN rankings, kind of gives you a sneak peek into our rankings. I also have a takeaways article on Monday and Tuesday. I have a dynasty moves article. Rankings are over there. And I have a start sit show every Sunday morning. So if you want to join me, feel free. It's on the FTN YouTube.
Right on.
Other than that, draft season's almost here. So as far as Twitter goes, at Pope's FFH, the rookie threads will be coming soon. So I know that's just pretty enjoyable.
Just like winter.
It's coming.
It's coming, baby. I love it. All right. And be sure to like the video. Follow us on YouTube at SGPN Fantasy and follow us on Twitter at SGPN Fantasy. Take care. Be well. Be good. And if you can't be good at it. We'll see you.